What settings are in you when you fall, Charles Spurgeon writes? Avoid them. What props do you have that support your sin? Eliminate them. What people are you usually with? Avoid them. There are two equally damning lies Satan wants us to believe. Just once won't hurt. Now that you've ruined your life, you are beyond God's use and might as well enjoy sinning. Learn to say no. It will be of more use to you than to be able to read Latin. Hebrews, who want to learn Hebrew. See where I'm going with this?
Mm-hmm. Preach it.
Learn to say no before you pick up the lexicon. Because it does you no good. Might as well be learning Mandarin. In the face of all this corrupt wisdom, the only answer to all of this corrupt wisdom going forth around the world is righteous wisdom. And there is only one source for that living water. What the devil hates more than anything is remorseful and repentant prayer. Hates it. Because he knows the Father's grace and the power of it. See, we hate that word now in Hebrews, don't we? It's what our Christian brothers throw in our face all the time, isn't it? However, it's what you eat, sleep, live, and breathe every day. His grace. Now, if you thought that stings, get ready for the next one. You ready? Brace for impact. The next thing that he eliminates from us. Hope you don't have anywhere to go. Are you getting fed?
Yes.
The next thing that the Father eliminates us in us through this is a little term called backsliding. It's an interesting word. Jeremiah 49:4, how boastful you are about the valleys. Your valley is flowing away, O backsliding daughter, who trusts in her treasures, saying, who will come against me? What's fascinating about the word backsliding there is that it's the Hebrew word shobed. The root word of that is shuv. Now, if you know the word teshuvah, repentance. Shobed is unrepentant. To shobed means you literally unrepent for what you've already repented of. If you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards. There's another word that's interesting. It's the Hebrew word sug. Not only does it mean to turn back, it also means to move a boundary marker. If I don't like the standard, I'll just change it. How many of you have heard people justify sin in their own lives? That is moving a boundary marker. What's the penalty for moving a boundary marker, Torah scholars? Death. Why? You are literally messing with what the Father has established as right and not right. Sug. In Zephaniah 1, one of the groups of people that Yahweh will remove from the earth is this one. Zephaniah 1:6, and those who have turned back from following Yahweh, and those who have not sought the Lord or inquired of him. Not yet. Taking it easy is often the prelude to backsliding. Comfort precedes collapse. Vance Havner. Backsliding doesn't come all at once. It comes as passion fades, like a fire that is not being fed. How do you know if you're backsliding? Well, Cole, I'm not going back to Easter. I'm not celebrating Christmas. What's the problem? Are you content to live without his power in your life? And it's a little closer to home, doesn't it? Are you content with Are you content with your lack of spiritual power and no longer seek repeated endowments of power from on high? You no longer have a passionate love for God and his work. You quench the voice of the Holy Spirit. Most of all, the first step is a loss of passionate prayer. First step to backsliding. Leonard Ravenhill said, backsliding happens in the place of prayer. Hebrews, today we have an idol. It's the idol of knowledge and intelligence. We who claim to no longer operate with a Greek mentality sure do seek knowledge a lot. We believe that we can study our way into the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 2:2-5, place we need to get back to. For I determined to know nothing among you except Yeshua HaMashiach and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of Elohim. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity. We read that one already, didn't we? You realize that the gospel is simple. So simple that people who do not speak the same language can somehow communicate. And one of them or both can be saved. Cody Lundeen, who's a survival expert, says, life is simple. We make it complicated because it's better for the economy. Our theology is simple. I'm going to step on some toes. We make it complicated so that we can sell DVDs and CDs.
Amen, brother. Preach it.
We make it complicated for conferences' sake. We make it complicated for attention's sake. And dare I say, for donation's sake. This guy has the answer. No, that guy has the answer.
That's right.
Scared me to actually say that. This is my shooting hand. Oh, I shouldn't have quoted that movie. Sorry. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Pursue love, however, keep on eagerly seeking the things of the spirits. Eagerly seeking. And especially seek to be able to prophesy. Prophecy is not telling what will happen. It's telling who will happen. It is when the Father shares his heart with you. I meet ladies and gentlemen who are mourning the loss of children. What can I say? I can't say anything to you that would necessarily ease that comfort, except to understand that you know what it was like for the Father to lose his son and the depth of pain that he lived in that moment. And your child, just like his son, will see the resurrection. It's up to you to lay that down. That's life. That's life. Among Hebrews, sorry, it moved on me. Demon of technology again. What makes me hot, hotly angry, Hebrews today, and I'm going to be careful that I don't enter into my flesh when I say this. The worst thing among us is apathy. I don't care.
So what? I want to beat you about the head and neck. Because you have no idea what it cost for you to be sitting in the seat you're in right now. To take the Messiah's blood and cast it out on the ground is common. And you don't care because you're disenfranchised because somebody insulted you.
Reach it.
That will bring the bear out of me very quickly. Because we sat in a men's conference not 2 weeks ago, and I felt the room slip into apathy. As if we can turn a deaf ear to the word of the Father that is seeking to deliver us from everything that's costing us peace right now, and then accept change, and then not accept change. Where is your fight? Lions of Israel. The reason that we have the lion is Micah 5:8. The remnant of Jacob sitting among the nations will be like lions among forest animals. You realize you're the scary one? And let me tell you something. We are sheep to him and horrifying nightmares to the adversary.
Amen.
Except if we're in agreement that we're not. You want to see real change in your life. Men, get off your butt and stand in place and defend your household. Ladies, let go of the bitterness of the past. Do not be the contentious woman. That's up to you. Yes, your husband may be sitting down. It may be Nabal. The guy who's throwing a party as King David rides down upon him to kill everybody in his household. Yet it was the lady of the house that went out to meet him. And it said, as King David pulled up, she was prostrate on the ground, submissive and humble, with all the supplies he asked for. And when you listen to Abigail and David talk, that's a conversation between lions. Lady, I can imagine David going, "Whew, lady, whew, your tact has saved your house today." You have entered into a covenant of suffering. Do you realize that? Taking up the sufferings of Messiah. To see the world as he saw it when he wept and said, "Jerusalem, I have desired to gather you under my wings like a mother hen gathers her chicks." What does he want? He wants us home. And he wants us safe. We cannot waste his time any longer. Jeremiah 48:10 is an interesting verse, and here's why. In chapter 48 of Jeremiah, it says this. He is prophesying against Moab. He is saying, Moab will fall. Moab will be judged. Moab will be cut down. But literally in the middle of that discourse, he stops and changes focus. Jeremiah 48, verse 10. Cursed be the one who does the Lord's work negligently. And cursed be the one who restrains his sword from blood. I think all of you have a little sword that you have at home or in your lap right now that you are restraining from the blood of the adversary. Ladies and gentlemen, you want to be dangerous, swing the sword. It's interesting when you study all the 3:16s in the scriptures. Find some interesting things. Revelation 3:16 says this, "So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." Malachi 3:16 says this, "Then those who fear the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name." What did he write about you today? You have to learn to love the judgments of Elohim. You have to learn to love the discipline that he hands down. You have to learn the process of purification. You have to love when he corrects you and not get defensive. But if you only understood, Father, think about what you just said. He was there when it happened. When we begin to lose the dross of the past and rust of our character, the fire of heaven will begin to fall upon us. Leonard Ravenhill said, "There is nothing more attractive on this earth than fire, whether physical or spiritual." Why are so many leaving the church and wandering lost in the wilderness? Because they have no fire to walk toward, to signal this way. We're not to go into the churches, they are to come out to us. And we better be ready for when they do. Romans 12:1. "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to Elohim, which is your spiritual service of worship." We should literally be walking around on fire as whole burnt offerings, as a pleasing aroma. A whole burnt offering benefited no one except the Father in heaven. The Levites didn't get a piece, you didn't get a piece. It was a complete act of worship all the time. Understand that we are to be completely consumed in him. Are we content to walk without that holy fire any longer? Are you? Are you?
No.
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 Are you?
No.
Will you sit and bicker and argue about doctrine as the world plunges into chaos, rather than being the light and the salt? Repent, my brothers and sisters. You want to see spiritual victory in your life, there's only one source of it. And it isn't a name. It isn't a formula. It is complete and total submission to him. What does it mean to be broken? What does it mean to be broken? One, you are going to change. Kind of simple. If I take Tom's arm and break it, I'm changing his arm. We can demonstrate if you'd like. Brokenness is the stripping of self-reliance and independence from Elohim. The broken person has no confidence in his own righteousness or his own works, but he is cast in total dependence upon the grace of God, working in and through him, Nancy D. Lamas. Do you think that may be why the adversary continues to offer us comfort so that we don't get to a place of brokenness? Many of you figured out this is not an easy walk. What you will become addicted to, though, in a good way, is healing. Because we cannot be devoid of the fact that after the brokenness comes the restoration. Not just restoration. Sometimes it's regeneration. Something you've never had. Messiah came up on a blind man. "What do you want me to do for you?" And he took dirt from the ground and saliva from his hands and made mud and put them over the man's eyes, and then he could see. I will submit to you that it is possible that man never had eyes to begin with. Why use mud? Because out of the dust of the earth,
I need something, Father, that I've never had. I need to submit to you what I do have, but I need something that I've never had. I need your wisdom that I cannot formulate on my own or read enough to achieve or to take in. I need something from you that I need to win my kids to the Lord. I need you to guard my household. I need you to heal my child. I need you to lift me up out of this dark place. I don't have the means to do it. I choose you in the valley of decision. Purify me. Purify me. Purify me. Take everything the adversary could call his own out of me, no matter how painful, no matter how unpleasant, no matter how much I've taken ownership of the lies, no matter how many lies I enact in my life, let your truth come up against every single one, and may I truly have a renewed mind. May I walk stepping over the snakes and scorpions. May I walk treading every day without fear of being bitten or poisoned. May I walk and my shadow heal people as I walk. We have a long way to go. Brothers and sisters, do not think you have arrived. Do not think that the adversary is not winning against us. Do not think that as we sit here hearing me talk, that the adversary is not out there running around destroying families, plotting how to destroy yours, looking inside you everything that he can exploit to tell you the Father is not faithful to his word. That is the war we're in. Not demonic possession. That's way down the line. I'm talking about the everyday battles. Let me tell you something. We look at Hollywood and say, well, that's spiritual warfare. The true spiritual warfare, the most dangerous thing that's happening among us is people turning away from the Messiah. Who are abandoning the faith, the witness that they had when they came into this. The love, the innocent love they had. It's simple. Do you have a witness of the Messiah or not? And that is what the saints in Revelation overcame the dragon with.
Amen.
I am done with this complacency among us. I am done with this coldness. I am done with the apathy. If you stand in between me and my heavenly Father, I will step over your dead body.
Amen.
Satan, or anybody that stands in the way. I and you are the scary ones. He is horrified that you might find out that the armies of heaven are protecting you if you would but ask.
Amen.
He is horrified that you might find out that you have some value in this kingdom. He's horrified to find out that the Father wanted you to be born. You were born in victory. There were a bazillion of you in there. And one. Congratulations. Isn't it wonderful to sit? I cannot stand any longer and watch the other roaring lion tear apart his people. You know what a roaring lion wandering to and fro is doing? If you listen to my wolves and lions teaching, you know what he's doing? A lion who is wandering to and fro is looking for another pride to take over. And he will exploit the weakness of the current alpha male, and then after he runs him off, will kill the cubs of the one before him. What do you think he's doing to you? And what he wants to do to you? What is he doing to us? This is life. This isn't fantasy. Understand this. Being broken
implies a deep knowledge of what it means to live in darkness. Which means that there is within you a strong appetite for beauty and light. And because you know the darkness, you seek to share and shine that light on others who are still dwelling there. The breaking done by our Heavenly Father illustrates to us both His overwhelming power and His healing mercy. We can no longer stand, read our word, and then live like the world the rest of the week.
Amen.
If you were here last night, you heard me say that Moses said this about the Father after the golden calf. Moses, get these people moving. Moses said, "Father, I ain't going without you."
Amen.
He said, "How else are these people going to know that I'm the one that you picked?" And it is your presence that separates us from from every other nation on the planet. Are you content to live without His presence in your life any longer? My heart weeps for where we are. But I have so much hope for what you will become if you would but choose this day who you will serve. Don't immediately say, "Cole, we chose Elohim." You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we are entering into a time of history where you're going to need all of everything that He's given you. When you get to the kingdom, some of us will get rewards that the other ones won't. Some of us will show up with straw and grass that will be tested by fire. And you will enter into the kingdom, but you're going to smell like smoke. And you'll enter in empty-handed. Yet, purchase from me silver and gold. How do you get silver and gold? By wisdom. Because wisdom is worth more than silver and gold, isn't it? Wisdom is like silver and gold. How do you get wisdom? By suffering for His sake. Are you willing? Not everybody is. Sadly, as I walk down this walk, that narrow road keeps getting narrower. By those who are willing not to live on the fringe, not to want to live on the edge of the camp, I would love to pitch my tent right next to that outer wall of the tabernacle, where I can feel the heat coming off the pillar of fire at night. Humility is understanding that there are those who are more important than you. It is not self-deprecation. It is esteeming others higher than yourself. You cannot lower yourself to someone else's level and expect to help them. You raise them up to yours and higher.
Amen.
Like the rock that was smitten, we too need to be broken before the rivers of blessing can flow out through us. The opposition of men and their false accusations serve to keep us broken before the Father. Why does the world hate us so much? And they accuse us of things that are awful so that we continue going to Him. Isaiah 66, verse 2. All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite and trembles at my word. There's a spirit of mockery in the room.
You didn't know. What mockery is taking something valuable and making it feel cheap. There is a spirit of mockery in this room. Let me ask you a question, those who are entertaining it. Why do you not want what the Father has to give? Is it because your pain is lying to you? And saying he doesn't love me because otherwise I wouldn't feel this? Ladies and gentlemen, we are the people who need him. I am no longer content to live without him. I don't want the knowledge about him. I want him. I don't want the Messiah, as it says in the Song of Songs, wait the bridegroom waiting outside the lattice, outside the house. I want him in with us. And after that, as his bride, I can't wait to join you in that holy matrimony, Yeshua HaMashiach. Not everybody in this room is going to make it. The wheat and the tares are here. But it is the wheat that bows, that distinguishes it from its weightiness, from its value. I can tell you this, that we serve a God miraculous enough to turn a tare into wheat if he would but submit. Ladies and gentlemen, is today the day that everything's going to change for you? Why not today? Why can't we go to him today and have our whole world change? That's why our title of our ministry is On That Day. Everything changed. Not the day you met me. The day you met him. The day you met him. Not only did you meet him, he chose you. You've been called out of the nations. You've been delivered from the fate of the rest of this dying world. But delivered where? Delivered into his presence. Delivered to the foot of Sinai. Delivered to the foot of the cross, and delivered before his throne in the kingdom. We will go through many deliverances. Father, we ask you to deliver us one more time today. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you look down on your people one more time. We have not learned for all of our study what killed our ancestors in the wilderness. Rejection of you. Heavenly Father, as much as it hurts, as much as we are in pain now, as much as we are devoid of your presence, and as much as we are hearing from the adversary that it will hurt as it comes in, we ask for it anyways. We reach for you, Almighty God, Almighty Elohim, who created the world. We pray for your word to go forth. Those of you who were here last night, who laid something down at the altar, lay the next thing down. And then go home this week and lay the next thing down. And lay the next thing down. Because we are a people who walk on our faces before him. The altar is open, the front of the stage, if you wish to come. But this evening we're not simply asking for his presence to join us. Father, we ask for transformation, for regeneration, for hearts to change today. Father, we just ask now in your holy name. We hunger for you. That hole in our body, that hole in our spirit, we pray that you come. and fill. As we close our eyes and bow our heads, open your ears, Father. Give us ears to hear. Give us senses to sense your manifest presence. Silence the voice of the adversary for a time so that we can hear you clearly. And Father, we ask that we either break ourselves or we ask for you to supernaturally break us in a way where we will never be the same. It will be that day that we met you on the road. Father, we just lift up our brokenness to you. The places in our hearts that vibrate with the pain of the past. We no longer seek to be wounded and walk wounded to the kingdom, Father. We know you are the one who wounds, but you're also the one who heals, according to your Torah. And Father, you've wounded many of us and brought us here today. To this place, to this moment in eternity, from eternity past to eternity future. And we are here because you have called us out of the nations, Father. We heard your voice, O Yeshua, calling to your sheep, and we came. Some of us have spots, some of us have wounds. Lions and wolves. Some of us are scared beyond belief of what tomorrow might bring. But Father, inside your sheep pen, inside that place is safety and protection and healing. It is the broken ones who hunger for restoration. It is the broken ones who will be used mightiest by you, Father. Those of us who are willing to offer these vessels to be filled with something other than ourselves. Pour us out as a drink offering, Father. Pour out our anguish. Pour out our pain. Pour out the lies of the adversary, Father. If we don't know what they are, Father, ring them in our ears right now so that we can say, you are a liar, Satan. And may that lie be pulled out of me and replaced with the truth of the Father. You get out of today, ladies and gentlemen, what you offer. Father, we open our hands to you with the brokenness of our spirits. We ask that you take what is rightfully yours and cause the wind to blow over what belongs to the adversary, and may it never again be mixed with the holiness that you have endowed us with. May you consistently, Father, remind us why we are here. The blood of Messiah, the grace that you showed us, the day that we were a sinner, the day that you put your hands on the cross and they nailed you to it. And just as if I'd never sinned, you embraced me as one of your lambs. Father in heaven, we ask now for a manifestation of your presence. We are a people who long to have you dwell among us. As we go into the 10 days of awe, Father, and the before the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, when we are reminded of what it costs to bring us home. That the Messiah took his own blood into the tabernacle in heaven and offered it upon your throne as our high priest. We simply say thank you, as meager as that feels. Father, we pray that those who came here with broken hearts would trust you to handle that place of pain, but not only handle it, but give us a new one.
Right now, if you are in a place where the Father is showing you something in your mind's eye that you need to lay down in His presence on His altar, I want you to envision yourself walking up to the brazen altar in the tabernacle with that death in your hand and laying it on the grate to be burned up. Father, we offer you the broken and contrite spirits that you want. We ask that you would look down upon your people and forgive us for our apathy. Forgive us for being content to not live in the power that you so freely give. Father, we ask look upon your people and see the called out ones, the ones that you call for birth to be something more than what this world says we are. Father, we come against the stony hearted in the room. We come against the spirit of pride and arrogance that keeps us from bowing our knee to you. We come against that place of fear of a loss of control. Not a place of chaos, but a place where you take us somewhere we've never been before. We come against the spirit of fear, the spirit of the fear of unknown. When you have promised, I know the plans I have for you. Plans for well-being and not for harm. Father, may we no longer hear the lies of the adversary ringing in our ears that you are not who you say you are. May we continue to seek your face every day. What a privilege it is to be called out by you, our heavenly King, to raise our hands in worship to you. To be able to cry out in the middle of the night in the darkness when we're most afraid and to have you hear us. To bless us and show us the richness of your Torah and the beauty of your Son. Forgive us for forgetting that we are walking miracles. Forgive us for accepting the ordinary when you offer the supernatural. Father, we come against any curse of witchcraft spoken against your people that has found a place of agreement in us. Father, we come against it as a body. We surround our brothers and sisters and come against that force. We come against it, Father. We no longer allow it in our midst. We no longer want your people to suffer needlessly because it's easier. We come against the spirit of witchcraft. Father, in this moment, we come against the generational curses that have passed down to us. Most of all, from the rebellion of Israel itself. We are still a hard-hearted and stiff-necked people. But Father, let us learn the lessons that our ancestors refused to learn. Let us not die in the wilderness or go on pointless expeditions around mountains. Father, let us come into your promise. Father, we come against any generational curse of divorce. We come against any generational curse of defeat. We come against the generational curse of rebellion. We come against the generational curse of narcissism. We come against this generational curse of deviance. Father, we ask you now to wash us clean. Those of you who know you're suffering with one of these generational curses, I pray that you'll join me in this short prayer, whether silently or aloud. Heavenly Father, my family rebelled against you. My ancestors chose rebellion over your goodness, over your grace,
over your mercy. It has cost us dearly. But today, I assume the responsibility for my ancestry. And may your Son wash me clean. Forgive us and restore us. May the generations, the generational curses of the third and fourth end today. And may the beginning of the thousands begin with me. Somebody got delivered. Somebody just had a big breakthrough. Father, we bless you. And we ask now for those that are hurting that you would send down once again your ministering angels to tend to the hearts of those who are suffering right now. Brothers and sisters, do you want the ministering angels to come down?
Amen.
Ask for one. Ask him for one. Today is not a day for me to feed you, it's for you to reach out and receive. It's for you to reach up to the heavens and ask and beg for the Father to hear your prayers. Father, we come against bitterness. The bitterness which is the inability to accept our life circumstances. The inability to accept things done to us. And what we ask in its place, Father, is understanding. How did that fit into your plan? How did that lead me here? How did that lead me to this place of brokenness? How can this possibly be used by you? Tell me, Father, tell me. Oh, you guys are doing a good job. Those of you with discernment, do you feel the angels come in? They're here. Ask for one. Father, we come against the spirit of sorrow, of despair. For the only thing that we despair, Father, is our sin. We no longer despair our lives or who we are. We no longer want to walk in the shame that we are sorry that we were ever born. You chose us to be born. You wanted us to be born. You wanted us here. You wanted us in your kingdom. You wanted us. Father, we accept you as you have accepted us. Father, next we come against the curses spoken against us. Father, we come against the spirit of religion that's in the room. The religion where we put you in a box of understanding. Father, you are bigger than anything we can fashion. You are beyond our comprehension. Let us not limit our understanding of you by simple dogma any longer. We come against the spirit of religion. Father, we come against the spirit of abuse. So many of us, whatever kind it is, physical, sexual, verbal, or mental, our abusers sought to make us in their image. They hated themselves and therefore they hated us. We stand against the abuse of the past, Father. No longer will we hear the words of our abuser ringing in our ears. We want to hear the words of our loving Father. That would hit home for somebody. Whoever you are, trust me, just follow me, okay? You are not what they said you were. You are not what they made you. You are not the lies they told you, and you are bigger than your past. You are not too tainted for the blood of Messiah. He can restore what the locusts have eaten. He can restore what the locusts have eaten.
You're doing great. You guys are doing awesome.
Father, show us any more lies that we have to deal with today that keep us from fully embracing who we are as people,
as your people.
Forgive our arrogance, Father. Deflate our puffed upness. Because the closer we get to you, the more we realize we know nothing. Forgive us, Father, and teach us once again. You are an Elohim who desires to dwell not just among his people, but within them. If there is someone here who has never fully accepted Yeshua's blood, pray with you. Is there someone teetering right now on true faith? I can tell you this, it's a lot better over here than where you are right now. We are a people who must repent, Father. Just as our marriages thrive on forgiveness and repentance, so does our relationship with you. May we repent and you forgive us. Father, we pray against unforgiveness among us. You have forgiven us so much, Yeshua. May we supernaturally, if need be, forgive those who trespass against us. Whether it be a parent, a brother, or sister, a child. Let us not live in bondage anymore. Father, we ask that you come down and break the chains of slavery. Deliver your people one more time on this day, your Shabbat, where we can finally rest. We want to taste and see the goodness of you. You love us so much. You love us with a depth of love that we cannot fathom. We want more of you, Father. As all the disciples pray, increase our faith. As David said, enlarge my heart so that I can contain more of you in it. Offer up the offering of brokenness to him. Because you're about to walk in freedom that you've never experienced, if you do. You're about to breathe air that you've never breathed before. You're about to taste things you've never tasted before. You're about to smell fragrances that you could not comprehend before. Abuse of the world end here, Father. May the abuse of the world end here with us. We lay it down, Father. We reject it as a lie. We reject it as a product of the world. Some of us continue to drag Egypt with us. We drag our wretchedness with us, Father. As we came to know your Torah, we experienced sin springing to life. We had to face the fact that we were such sinners. But Father, rather than point the sin out of those more sinful than us, Father, we ask to be cleansed. Never again walk in the anger or bitterness against ourselves. Become against shame. We are not a mistake.
before knew us. There is someone in the room who is receiving their calling, their purpose right now. And you're saying, not me. And you're saying, choose somebody else. I can tell you this is someone walking in their purpose. Don't look at yourself and your own abilities right now. Look at the power waiting on you. If you would but accept. Because those he calls, he equips. Don't let the adversary tell you that right now you can't do it, because actually he's right, but you will be able to when you submit.
Amen.
Brother or sister, come over. Cross over into obedience, whoever you are. Maybe if you come through the water. Tell you this, those who allow yourself to be broken, you have offered a pleasing sacrifice today. I will tell you this, that as I do this all over the country, today your brokenness is more palatable than anybody I've ever been around before. You people were ready. You came here ready. Came here ready to change. There are lives that are going to be completely different tomorrow morning. And I will tell you this, that if the adversary has kept his distance from you during this, he's going to show up tomorrow morning at the foot of your bed and say, what happened yesterday isn't real. And I'm going to tell you this, because he is saying that to you, you counted that lie away. Finally be standing on the foundation of righteousness to be able to launch your defense against the adversary. You all did a marvelous job of being broken. But the Father doesn't want to stop there. What I ask is that we dim the lights a little bit. Go to him and worship and thank him for what he's done today. In this quietness, let him consume whatever's left. Just focus on the words.
Consuming fire.